This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Wisconsin Republican Congressman Sean Duffy. He's a freshman representing the Badger State's 7th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Financial Services Committee. We want to get his thoughts on the growing budget debate, especially the stark contrast between the plans offered by his fellow Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan, the chairman of the Budget Committee, and President Obama. And Congressman Duffy, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me on, Greg. I appreciate it.
You've been in Congress now for a little less than 4 months. What's your sense of how big of a problem we have with our debt and how serious the Congress is about dealing with it?
Well, I ran on the debt issue, and I felt like I understood it fairly well. But once I got there, the information we received is so much better. And, I mean, this is the challenge of our generation. This is a great threat to the American sovereignty, American prosperity, and to our next generation. And, you know, I think in the House, we fully understand the threat that the debt is posing to the country. But it's interesting in the Senate and in the White House, they seem to think that we can continue to borrow and spend and print money with no long-term economic consequence. And it's just not so.
When you look at the upcoming vote now on the debt limit, there's basically three schools of thought. You have the White House saying we need a clean extension of the debt ceiling. You have some on the Republican side, the more conservative side, saying absolutely not on anything. Don't raise it under any circumstances. Just make sure that we don't default potentially on our debt commitments. And others say, well, we probably need to raise it, but we need to demand major concessions on spending. Where do you fall into that?
Well, I'm on the third example. I think we need to cut and scale back the size and scope of government to allow for an increase. I mean, I look at this and you say, I mean, we borrow 42 cents of every dollar that's spent. And so to think that we could snap our fingers and immediately balance a budget, I mean, that doesn't work in someone's household. It doesn't work in someone's business. It takes time to implement policies to balance the budget. And, I mean, frankly, if you wanted to balance it in an instant, you could pay your Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and interest on the debt, which is all of our mandatory spending, and you'd have to do away with all discretionary spending, which would be our military and every agency you think of as government. I think it's not practical to think that we could balance it in a heartbeat. But we have to, I think, if we're going to pass an extension out of the House, we are going to need serious spending reforms to do it.
What are some specific examples of what you want to see in place before you're willing to vote for this?
Well, I think, I don't want to go into specifics because I think there's a whole menu of options that would be acceptable. But we need to move the ball significantly down the field in regard to our U.S. spending. And what happens is if you go out there and talk about it, all of a sudden we start to negotiate with ourselves. And they said, oh, you said you would do this. Well, if you've done that, well, how about if you take just a little bit less? We see that's been the tactic time and time again. And, you know, even with the CR extensions, the continuing resolution extensions, you know, the House put forward its plan, and the Democrats and the Senate and the President did a great job of taking shots at us, but never were they making their own proposals but for to continue spending at current levels, which we found to be unacceptable. But if we're all on the same page that we wanted to, you know, scale back our federal spending, they didn't propose any alternatives. And I think the same will be true with the debt ceiling. And, you know, I got to tell you, I think this is going to be a vote that's not far away from, like, the TARP vote. People don't want to see the debt ceiling raised, especially if we continue on the current course.
We're talking with Wisconsin Congressman Sean Duffy. And, Congressman, obviously last year when folks saw what a Democratic president and a Democratic Congress had done for 2 years, that resulted in major Republican gains. Certainly your seat was one of those, I would imagine. Now, of course, as specific plans are being outlined, people seem to be maybe a little bit more skittish on whether or not they really support a major reform of a program like Medicare. And nowhere has this played out in a slightly different way than in your home state of Wisconsin, between what Governor Walker wanted, the union backlash and so forth. How ready do you think the American people are for this debate, and how willing do you think they are to make the tough choices to get our country and certain states around the country back into financial line?
Those Americans who know the fiscal crisis that we face, they're all on page. Those who aren't well aware, they will say, let's stay on the current course. But, I mean, you know, the president came out with it yesterday or the day before saying that our proposal was radical. What's radical here is that, you know, we owe $14 trillion. And every year for the next 10 years, on average, we're going to borrow another $1 trillion. that we are going to borrow this money from China, that we're going to pass it off to the next generation, is unacceptable. I think one of the big things that are happening now is a conversation on Medicare. And, you know, we have come out with a proposal that says, listen, those who are 55 and older, they're going to get the current plan. We're going to reform it for future generations, allowing them to purchase their Medicare by way of choice and competition, which we think will drive prices down. But the president's plan with his IPAB board, the Independent Payment Advisory Board, which is going to go into effect very shortly here, it's 15 unelected bureaucrats. The president is going to ration care for our current seniors, and we're trying to save the care for our current seniors, all the while reforming it for future generations. So there's going to be some very distinct choices that the electorate will have in 2012. The status quo, or, you know, reforms that are going to make the country stronger and brighter and more prosperous.
In addition to that aspect of the debate, the president has called for tax hikes on wealthier Americans, saying that it's the patriotic thing to do. That might have been the vice president, actually, who said that. But the president did say that wealthy people really want to pay more. They just haven't been asked. What do you say in response to not only that line of logic, but also his policy of thinking that the debt situation will be greatly improved if wealthier Americans pay more in taxes?
Well, I mean, the bottom line is, in today's global marketplace, people can invest anywhere in the world, whether it's China or India, Mexico, Brazil, Vietnam, or America. We need a competitive tax code that's going to drive businesses to America so we can put our families back to work. What we do in the House budget proposal is we bring the rates down to 25%, but then we get rid of so many of the loopholes, the corporate welfare, those who have had effective lobbyists to carve out certain segments of the tax code so they don't pay. We think this is going to work. It's going to, one, drive investment and drive job growth, but also have folks who are out there making a living pay their fair share. What's interesting is our proposal, which is also being called radical here, is also the same proposal that the president's debt commission came out with. His deficit commission with Erskine Bowles and Senator Simpson came out with a similar proposal, reducing rates but doing away with many of the write-offs. But again, these are pro-growth policies. I mean, raising taxes is not going to create any jobs. It's going to kill the economy. We need to get more people working, put our families back to work, and a tax code that encourages investment and expansion will do that. Raising taxes won't.
Last question before we let you go, Congressman. What about business taxes? I remember in the 2008 campaign, Senator McCain saying that ours was the second highest in the industrialized world, and he wanted to bring that down substantially. How does the Ryan plan, if at all, address that?
Absolutely. Well, I think we are the second highest in the industrialized world, but I think pretty soon we're going to be the highest because Japan is planning on decreasing their corporate taxes. That's what this does. It takes it from that 35-36% and brings that rate down to 25%, which makes us kind of in the mid-range of the industrialized world in regard to corporate taxes. So we are addressing it, and so we're going to have an issue where taxes aren't going to be an issue for why people won't invest in America. We still have to address our regulations and mandates in the country, but when we do that, we're going to set our country up in this new global marketplace. I mean, this isn't 1980. It's not 1950. We now see that capital can go anywhere in the world. We want to make sure it's going to come to America so they can take advantage of what I think is the best workforce in the world, hardest working, most productive workforce. But again, we have to get our states and our federal government out of the way to make sure those investments are encouraged and will create jobs in our communities.
Congressman, some very fierce debates to come. Thank you for your time today. Have a wonderful Easter weekend.
You too, Greg.
Wisconsin Republican Congressman Sean Duffy represents his state's 7th Congressional District, member of the House Financial Services Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.